From Tidbits on February 4th, 2008, this is the audio version of Looking Video Chat Problems in the Eye, written by Joe Kissel. Several years ago, I wrote an article on Interesting Thing of the Day about eye-to-eye video, the problem making eye contact when video conferencing. If you've ever used the video capabilities of iChat or Skype, you know what I'm talking about. The person on the other end appears to be looking at your navel, or the person next to you, rather than your face, and you appear the same way on the other person's screen. I've always found this to be weird and uncomfortable, but chalked it up to the limits of technology. The camera has to be above, below, or to the side of the screen, so if you're looking at the image, you are not, by definition, looking at the camera, and therefore give the impression of not looking at the person you're communicating with. As anyone who has watched Star Trek knows, this problem no longer exists in the 23rd century. Somehow, flat panel video displays in the future also magically act as cameras too, and you can look directly into the eyes of the person on the screen. As a matter of fact, the secret of this trick may already have been discovered, at least in Apple's labs. A patent the company received in 2006 describes a device in which minuscule sensors and lenses are embedded in a monitor's individual display elements. So instead of having one big sensor and one lens, you have thousands of tiny sensors, each with its own lens. Digital processing magic combines all of the incoming data into a single image. Of course, a description in a patent application and a working prototype are two different things, and there's no telling if or when this technology will make its way into consumer products. Meanwhile, numerous researchers are toying with other clever solutions to the problem. For example, in an experimental system called gaze correction, digital processing alters the appearance of your face in real time to make it look as though your eyes are pointed in a different direction than what the camera is actually capturing. Some implementations of gaze correction use just one camera, while others interpolate the images from multiple cameras. Microsoft Research Cambridge has a website that demonstrates a variety of image manipulation techniques that rely on a pair of cameras. Of course, I'm leaving out the obvious low-tech solution, which newscasters and other television performers have been using since the 1950s, the teleprompter. Just stick a piece of glass or a semi-transparent mirror in front of a camera at a 45-degree angle, and it will reflect whatever's beneath it, a computer screen, mechanical scroll, or whatever, so the subject can read it while looking directly into the camera's lens, while the camera sees nothing but the subject. If, instead of a script, the teleprompter screen shows a video image of someone else, there's your eye-to-eye video conferencing. Sure enough, several high-end video conferencing systems use exactly this arrangement. For your run-of-the-mill computer user, systems that use the teleprompter design have the distinct disadvantage of being outrageously bulky. My MacBook Pro, for example, has an EyeSight camera built into the case, which, despite the limitations inherent in its placement, makes for a pleasantly compact arrangement. Just before moving to France last year, though, I picked up a gadget from Bodolin Technologies called CEye2Eye. It's a periscope-like device that uses two mirrors, the top one of which is semi-transparent, to turn a portion of my Mac screen into a teleprompter. The idea is that you clip it to the top of your display and then position the video window from iChat or Skype behind the bottom mirror. It's reflected in the top semi-transparent mirror, which is right in front of your EyeSight camera. And presto, eye-to-eye video conferencing in a relatively compact package, 9x6x4 inches, or about 23x15x10 centimeters, and at a modest price of around $60. I bought the CEye2Eye not primarily for video chats, but for remote presentations. Travel costs being what they are, I can't often appear in person at user group meetings in the United States, but I've had several requests to give live, interactive video presentations. I wanted to be able to see my notes while speaking without seeming to look down the entire time, and the CEye2Eye has enabled me to do just that. Combined with the version of iChat and Leopard, I can now even run my own keynote presentation or demo software on my computer, with a video image of my face in the corner on the remote screen. Although I haven't yet ventured into the world of video podcasts, I could use exactly the same arrangement to do so, perhaps with the addition of a teleprompter software such as Bodolin's ProPrompter LCD software, $125, the new DVC Prompt from DV Creators, $60, Vera Software's VideoQ2, $39.99, or the free web-based FreePrompter. Although the CEye2Eye has worked adequately for me, and is certainly reasonably priced for what it is, it does have some potential gotchas. First, Bodolin's website advertises two models, the CEye2Eye for $49.99 and the CEye2Eye-N for $10 more. The lower-cost model is designed to work with displays that have an external camera mount on the top, such as Apple's discontinued and much-missed EyeSight, while the CEye2Eye-N is for laptops and cameras with cameras built into the display bezel. I ordered the latter model, but what I got was a cross between the two, an apparently new design with removable tabs that allow the device to work on either display configuration. However, I've seen no mention or picture of this design on Bodoland's site or any other, even though I bought my CII more than 6 months ago, and it's not clear why they continue to maintain two separate products when a single design covers all the bases. Then again, all the bases turns out to be an exaggeration, in that none of the CII designs works on an iMac with a built-in EyeSight camera, neither the older, thicker plastic models nor the newer, thinner aluminum ones. The notches that let the CII slip over a laptop screen are too narrow to accommodate the iMac's case, which means that the camera would end up beneath rather than behind the top mirror. If one were disposed to perform surgery on the device, it might be made to fit, but I couldn't guarantee it. Another issue is that the semi-transparent mirror sitting in front of the camera darkens the image a bit. Rather than buy extra lamps to shine in my own face while giving video presentations, I've been using Ecamm's $10 eyeglasses utility, which lets me digitally brighten my EyeSight's image to my liking. Glasses does lots of other nifty things too. Eyeglasses does lots of other nifty things too, but the low-light image enhancement by itself makes it well worth the price in my book. Then there's the size. The CII is far too bulky to carry around in a laptop case. I'd only ever use it at home. And because it obscures so much of the display, it's not like I can leave it unattached attached all the time. It goes on the screen only when I need it. So I wish that somehow it were much smaller, perhaps even collapsible. On the other hand, I also dislike having to keep video chat windows scaled down to 4 inches square. That's just too small for comfortable conversations, and when you're using the CII as a teleprompter, you have to choose between displaying a very small amount of text or using a small font. So I wish somehow that it were larger, too. What I truly wish for is a thin screen that can see me as well as I can see it, just like the ones on the Enterprise. With any luck, Apple will make that a reality before the 23rd century. This is Tidbits. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, and subscribe via email, RSS, or Twitter, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Adam Angst, and thanks for looking at me while you were listening to this.